The annual blacklist of countries has been released by United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. It includes the statement that the actions of the Riyadh-led alliance in Yemen objectively led to that party being listed for the killing and maiming of children. Bahrain, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, and Sudan are part of that Saudi-led coalition, which has been bombarding Yemen since early 2015 to restore a Riyadh-friendly government in that impoverished state. In an apparent attempt to avoid Saudi anger, Guterres held talks with King Salman before releasing the list, which does not subject those on the list to any punitive action. The new blacklist was released days after Riyadh successfully lobbied the UN Human Rights Council against the launch of an independent international investigation into its alleged atrocities in Yemen. Meanwhile, the public in Yemen continues to suffer ongoing slaughter, despite calls for a probe. The UN Council offered nothing more than a resolution calling for a delegation of eminent experts to visit Yemen. Riyadh had threatened to restrict trade and diplomatic ties with any council member backing a much more robust version of the document. Whatever public concerns have been expressed, this means that there is no immediate practical action to halt the killing. Why has the United Nations not taken a stronger line against Saudi aggression in Yemen? And how much responsibility should America and Britain, whose Ministry of Defence is here in central London, bear for the deaths in this conflict? Simple questions with important answers. And let's start with this. What does the public in Yemen think about the Saudi-led coalition attacks on Yemeni citizens? We asked them. And here's what they said.
The Saudi-led attack on Yemen is an occupational tool to destroy the Yemeni people.
This attack, in its nature, is barbaric, with no justification, for no matter how much the Saudis and the Americans justified it. It's still a barbaric criminal attack which targeted women and children and this country's resources.
No doubt this is an attack and a violation of Yemeni sovereignty to control the political decisions of the country.
Normally, any citizen who wants the best for his country refuses any kind of aggression for any other country whatsoever, because it's not benefiting the country or its future.
This is an occupational war which aims to bring back Yemen in favor of Saudi Arabia, after we were liberated from them in the revolution of September the 21st, led by Ansar Allah.
It's a brutal aggression targeting Yemen and its people. If it was truly a war, the army camps would be targeted. However, it's an aggression on Yemen, because it targets schools, houses and neighborhoods. We also see the targeting of children.
Well, clearly it's disgusting, and the UN report just out actually gives a lot of evidence, and there's copious evidence even before that report came out, of deliberate targeting of civilians in this war. But I think what's really worth mentioning is that although the war may be implemented by Saudi and their coalition allies, the Saudis and their allies, this war is being directed at the highest level by London and Washington. So immediately after the war commenced in March 2015, Washington set up a joint planning cell, as they call it, with the Saudi military. And this is, you know, it's clear when the Saudi and US military chiefs get together who's going to be in the higher position. So Washington's deeply involved, London's deeply involved as well. We found out from the Saudi foreign minister, I believe, several months into the war, that actually the UK have embedded in the command and control center of the Saudi Air Force a number of British officers actually embedded helping with the targeting of airstrikes. So this whole war has got London and Washington deeply involved in directing the strategy and the operations at the highest level. And that's in addition to the huge arms sales that have been provided by US and UK and to help implementing the blockade. So the targeting of civilians is disgusting, but we must note that it's deliberate and it's being directed by London and Washington.
Well, it is beyond any shadow of doubt a massive, ongoing, continuous crime, which is in a blatant, flagrant violation of international law. What is being committed is appalling, abhorrent crimes, which are taking place under the very eyes of the international community, led by the United States, which has basically tried its utmost to cover up the tracks of the Saudi regime. It has not only condoned, but it is actually colluding and implacably complicit in covering up the Saudi regime's crimes and basically trying to prevent any action by the United Nations against the Saudi regime, and played an instrumental, pivotal role in preventing the Saudis being blacklisted last year when there was an intention by the United Nations to go down that road, and the Americans played the pivotal role in actually stopping that in its tracks.
More than 12,000 Yemenis have been killed by the Saudi-led coalition since the attacks began. But the United Nations only blacklisted the coalition recently. Does the public in Yemen agree with the UN's decision?
We don't believe in the UN or its decisions, even if they put Saudi Arabia on the blacklist. It's not enough, because they couldn't rescue the Yemeni people and stop the attack.
The UN's role as an accomplice, as it became a part in the political cover provided for this attack. And this partnership will speed up the UN system's proof, day after day, that it's a partner on the attack on Yemen.
Adding the Saudi-led countries to the blacklist, yes, we support this decision, but it won't do us any good. It will only do them good in blackmailing the Saudi-led coalition.
We support any UN decision that treats Saudi Arabia differently. We think that this decision is about blackmailing, just like all the previous decisions.
It's expected that Saudi Arabia will be listed on the blacklist, as it's violated the freedoms and killed a lot of innocent people. And it will gradually be called for the International Criminal Court.
Well, of course, the decision is welcome, but it should have been done right from the very start of the Saudi invasion in March 2015. Because right from the start, children have been targeted, not only killed, but targeted in this campaign for a month after the invasion began. Sana'a, the capital, was blockaded completely from all humanitarian aid deliveries for a month. And following that, the blockade of the country, the Saudis have only allowed in around 15% of commercial imports to get through into the country. And this is for a country, Yemen, that is dependent on imports for 90% of its food requirements. So this goes beyond way beyond the airstrikes that have killed children. It's believed that now one child every 35 seconds contracts cholera in Yemen, and this is a direct result of the blockade as well as the airstrikes. So, you know, with these conditions, it's no wonder that 7 million people are on the verge of starvation and that the cholera epidemic now is the worst in recorded history.
Well, definitely. I mean, that decision, it's high time for them to take that decision. They have been dragging their feet about it. They had cold feet about it. They came up with all sorts of excuses in doing something that should have been done much earlier, because the crimes are there. They're not hidden. They're taking place with the participation of the Americans, who are actually there within the military operation rooms with the Saudis. So it's happening with their full knowledge, with their full backing. Actually, the Saudis couldn't have got away with it without the American backing. I think that decision has been long overdue, but what makes it appalling, even more appalling, is that the unprecedented announcement by Ban Ki-moon, who was the UN's leader, who actually said he was subjected to intimidation, bullying by a country, a member state, which is unparalleled, unprecedented before, and he openly said that he was forced to change his mind by intimidation, by bullying, and by stark threats. And nothing has happened to the Saudis. It actually worked in their favor, and it has been delayed.
the UN has brought in sanctions over wars against countries like Iraq for less extreme measures than those carried out by the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. Does the public in Yemen think the UN is being too soft by merely blacklisting the coalition? And why?
The UN is an American tool to fulfill its occupational projects in the Arab and Islamic world. Therefore, it doesn't matter to the Yemeni people.
The Saudis' money and oil's role played a major role in this matter, since they brought the UN's decision and resolutions in every summit in an attempt to give the Saudi Arabia another chance to destroy the Yemeni people.
The UN has lost its credibility in the eyes of the Yemeni people since it has done nothing to preserve human rights and the rights of Yemeni people. The UN only does this because Saudis are paying their salaries and funding them.
Of course, the UN is a partner with Saudi Arabia. Due to their silence on thousands of crimes committed daily, we think the UN has many standards, surprising standards.
Nothing more clear about the UN's decisions from the day when the UN Secretary General announced that he had pressures on him to remove those countries from the blacklist. Therefore, this is enough to condemn the UN and its evaluation for what happens in Yemen. Also, it allows the aggression to commit more crimes.
The UN has now transformed from being a protector of rights and fighting to stop all human rights violations to becoming an organization that actually covers these crimes.
Well, let's not forget that it's UN Security Council leading members, US and UK, who are directly instigating and directing this war and sponsoring it, as I've said. And they're attacking, the Western powers are attacking Yemen for the exact same reasons as they've continuously attacked and destroyed and continue to destroy Iraq. And that's because both these countries, Iraq and Yemen, have the potential to be major independent regional powers. And that's because if you look, and therefore they're a threat to Western dominion over the Middle East. So if you look at the Arab world, typically most Arab countries either have oil resources or have large populations like Egypt. But Iraq is almost unique in actually having a large population and oil wealth, which means it has the oil wealth potential to finance economic development, making it economically independent, but also a large enough population to have a large army to be independent in security terms. So that's why they've always sought to destroy its potential, and the same is true for Yemen. Yemen has the majority of the population on the Arab Peninsula, making it the only country on the peninsula with the potential to challenge Saudi hegemony. So the powers of the Security Council have been attacking both countries for the same reason, and they've been doing it for nearly a century now.
First of all, I have to say they have actually delayed it far too long. They should have done it much earlier. And they are not only being too soft about it, but far worse, they have been actually playing a major part, a pivotal part, in covering up Saudi Arabia's tracks. Even though the previous head of the United Nations have openly said that they have actually threatened him, intimidated him, and bullying him. So they should have been severely punished. But far from that, they were actually appeased in a way that the decision was delayed, and now they come up with that decision. It's better late than never, that's the way I see it, but it should have teeth. There should be ramifications, serious, tangible consequences, and I don't believe that going through appointing experts to go and investigate is the right way of doing about it, because the main suggestion was to send out a committee, that is a formal committee, with expertise to go and investigate and report back to the United Nations. But somehow the decision was diluted and it has absolutely no teeth, so it will be again going through the same vicious cycle of more covering up, more condoning, more colluding, and conspiring to actually encourage Saudi Arabia to commit more crimes. So what is the United Nations has proven again? That it is unfit for purpose, unfit for people to turn to it to actually seek justice, fairness, and a stop to an appalling genocide which is taking place in, by the Saudis.
Official sources confirm there have been 38 attacks on schools and hospitals in 2016 alone. Coalition attacks have been responsible for over 680 child casualties. But the most shocking statistic is this. Over 12,000 people have died since the attacks began. A tremendous loss of life, and a very large proportion of these victims were civilians. With so many attacks on schools and hospitals, and so many child casualties, how would the United Nations react to these attacks if they took place in Europe? We asked the public in Yemen.
As I said, the UN is an American tool to fulfill occupational projects, therefore it won't impose any sanctions on the United States or Saudi Arabia, but if this happened in Europe, it would be a different story.
The UN looks at the countries with two faces. The poor countries like Yemen, they look at it as if it's nothing. If there was one violation in France to a child, it would be a huge deal for them. But in Yemen, there are thousands of violations, since we have over 500,000 persons sick with cholera.
The UN plays on both sides when it comes to the crimes in Yemen or in the Third World in general. Therefore, the people of the Third World do not trust the UN.
When it comes to the UN covering a crime in a European country, they focus on small things like animal rights and climate change, while they simultaneously cover up for mass murders.
The United Nations deplore an attack killing two persons in Paris or London, while hundreds of Yemeni civilians are killed every day, and the UN don't even react. Because of the defiled Saudi money, by which Saudi Arabia, by the consciousness of the people at the UN.
Well, I think it depends where they took place and against whom. Don't forget, in 1999, NATO attacked a European country, Yugoslavia, and it led to several thousand casualties, and it did hit schools and hospitals. But this was after, of course, a campaign of demonization against the Serbs lasting several years, in which the Serbs were characterized as somehow non-European and uncivilized and so on. So the premise of your question is correct. There is white supremacy in which European lives are valued more highly than non-European ones. Yemenis are essentially categorized as unpeople whose lives don't matter, easily disposed of. But that very category of unpeople is actually starting to spill over into Europe now. So if you look at the Grenfell Tower disaster, or the Grenfell massacre as I call it, these people, in the words of Mark Curtis, he said in the eyes of the British government, Grenfell Tower residents are basically Yemenis, meaning their lives too are worthless because they're poor and mostly non-European and so on. So white supremacy certainly does exist, it's true.
Definitely, and there should be, I'm not saying there shouldn't be, should be outrage, there should be an international outcry, there should be an international uproar wherever it takes place. These are innocent, helpless civilians. These are children who actually are being specifically targeted in order to bring the entire country to its knees. That is the main purpose. That is shock and awe being committed and perpetrated by the Saudi regime, which happens to be the bastion of dictatorship, the main exporter of dictatorship, the main exporter of also of the hardline extremist ideology, and the headquarters of that ideology is based in Saudi Arabia, which gives legitimacy in turn to the Saudi regime. Indeed, there should be outrage when that number of children have been killed, but I do believe that the figure and the number has been dramatically reduced in order to allow them to continue carrying out those atrocities with no action taken to deter them or stop them in their tracks.
The UK and US have been directly involved in arms deals with Saudi Arabia and its coalition. Do they bear any responsibility for the deaths in Yemen? And what can be done to stop the violence? Here's what the public in Yemen said.
The UK and the US are the true leaders for the attack on Yemen. Saudi Arabia and its mercenaries in Yemen are only tools to destroy the Yemeni community.
We know the attack is an Anglo-Saudi and American Zionist project. These attacks are coming from British-made bombs and are managed by the Americans and Saudis, and they're responsible for everything else that happens here.
The US is a major partner in this attack, since it was announced in Washington that the American and British weapons are used to kill the Yemeni people. The last plane that was shot down, it was an American plane, which proves the American and the UK are major role players in the killing of Yemeni people and violating the human rights of this country.
We find that mass arms deals are made by the West, but used by the Saudis, which included internationally forbidden weapons like cluster bombs. We consider the West as a major partner in this aggression. And the UN was supposed to include the UK and US governments in the blacklist for their partnership with Saudi Arabia in the killings.
Britain and the US should take responsibility for this aggression, as they supplied Saudi Arabia with the internationally prohibited arms and cluster bombs. So they are the main reasons behind what's going on in Yemen.
Absolutely, the West involves huge culpability, not just for the arms sales, for her whole role in the war. Like I said, they're involved in planning and targeting at the highest level, and the strategizing of this war, they're involved at the highest level. And this war involves the deliberate targeting of population centers. The cholera outbreak that is now officially the worst in recorded history is not a natural consequence of even just the conflict. It's a deliberate tactic of war by the Saudi coalition. President Hadi, who the coalition is supporting, decided to stop paying wages to sanitation workers, rubbish collectors, health workers in Houthi-governed areas. And that is what's led to the sewage in the streets, that's what's led to the collapse of the health system, and has led to the cholera outbreak. That's why 80% of the cholera victims are in Houthi-governed areas. This is a weapon of war. Disease, starvation are being used as a tactic of war in a war being planned and designed by Western leaders. And what can be done about it is that they must be held to account by their populations. We should be finding out wherever these MPs and ministers go, there should be demonstrations against them. They should be held to account. They should be forced to account for themselves, and ultimately they should be put on trial for war crimes, because these are war crimes of near genocidal proportions.
Basically, I mean, it is doubtless, it is incontestable that even the European Parliament has come up against selling those arms, have openly and demanded that those arms sales have to be stopped. We've seen the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, coming out strongly against them and asking for an independent, transparent investigation. The law is actually very clear. There is a clear list, and the government has saying, well, it is not clear. How clear can it be? When people are being killed in broad daylight, the United Nations has just admitted 683 children have been killed. Civilian infrastructure has been demolished and leveled to the ground, and that's according even to an investigation done, an independent investigation done by the request of independent people belonging to the and leaked belonging to the United Nations, who said that the Saudis are responsible, they bear the bulk of the responsibility, but at the same time it is also the buck cannot stop only with the Saudis. The responsibility also falls squarely on the shoulders of the United States, which has been there, responsible for providing them with the so-called information, refueling their fighter jets in the air, and providing them even with intelligence. So they cannot say, well, we don't know about it. They are complicit, they are deeply complicit, and they bear full responsibility for those appalling crimes.
In 2016, Saudi Arabia was briefly included on the annual list of shame, but removed allegedly after the kingdom threatened to cut funds to UN programs. Council members such as the United States, the United Kingdom, and France have also backed the Saudi war against the Arab world's poorest nation, Yemen, by selling weapons and giving logistical support.
Why is the United Nations being so soft on Saudi Arabia, despite the massive loss of life in Yemen? The UN has criticized war against countries like Iraq for far less than the current Saudi actions in Yemen. Perhaps the reality is that Saudi money talks, while the Yemeni dead do not.